Languages to music. Languages to music. Languages to music. Languages to music.
Okay, so welcome back, everybody, to the Languages to Music podcast. My name is Desta Haile, and I am here with the amazing artist Meron Tilahun, aka Meron T, singer, guitarist, songwriter. And she says she's not a producer yet officially, but I suspect she probably is, hailing from South London via Eritrea, Eritrea via South London. Thank you for making time today. So nice to see you and hear you. Can you tell us where you're at in your music journey today?
I'd say I'm about like level 1.5.
Like a video game.
Or like maybe level 2. Yeah, level 2.
It's been beautiful following your journey since having the honor of randomly meeting you in an amphitheater in Croatia many years ago. What did it start with? Because I feel like every time I check in, there's a new element. So, you know, new beautiful visuals. The honey video really stands out for me. Or you know, the singing or the guitar element or all these collaborations you've been doing. So yeah, if you could just give us a little overview of how it started and what you're working on at the moment.
Oh, how did it start? So I think it just started from being a kid who loved to sing and just kind of knowing that I was talented in a way, because I did choirs and stuff, and it was just always easy. And you know, like my teachers and stuff would always be like, oh, you're really good. And to the point where I felt like it was just normal to just be really good at singing. And so I just felt like it was always like my calling, just that thing that resonated with me the most, I think. So since being in primary school, it's been like choirs, lots of choir dropouts, and then going to uni, and then realizing that I didn't want to really go into like a working world that wasn't creative, and then deciding to dedicate to music fully, probably, or like properly, since 2017 when I finished uni. And then here I am now, 3 years into like properly releasing on Spotify, and we're gonna grow in the repertoire now,
and zillions of listeners on Spotify too. All over the world.
One day, hopefully, 1 zillion.
Already. No, it's gorgeous. I love what you're doing, and I love it's like really clear your imprint on all of it, on all the aspects. I feel watching it, listening to it. So, what is your earliest music-related memory? Your earliest. Maybe it's a lullaby, or maybe it's a certain music video or cassette. Maybe something your parents were listening to. Yeah.
So there's one that stood out, which is, okay, so it was like Michael Jackson's Greatest Hits, like a VHS tape. And I think I was like 2 when I discovered it. And I just would play it every single day, like to the point where my sister hated it by the end of it, like every single day without fail. I think like one of the first words I said was like, Michael Jackson or something. And like, so that video was on every single day without fail. Probably like, I don't even know, like a couple months, maybe a year, and that was that's probably one of like my most prominent earliest musical memories.
That's awesome. Yeah, the playing things to death is real. One of my first jobs, I think I was 16, and I got a job as a receptionist in some beauty salon, and the kind of top hairdresser in there, she played Frank Sinatra every day. Like for an entire summer. I still, to this day, 20 years later, I could not listen to Frank Sinatra without like flying into a rage. I'm just like, no, turn it off. Can't do it.
Just knowing every lyric as well.
Cannot do it. But Michael Jackson, I could have tolerated for sure every day. So which languages do you speak, or which languages have you studied, and which languages do you want to learn?
So I can speak English and Spanish because I lived in Madrid for 2 years. A tiny bit of Italian, obviously growing up with like an Eritrean an Eritrean household, and mainly Eritrean grandmother, who, like, and obviously my mum and auntie, but mainly my mum and like auntie, my mum and my grandma, like, knowing a few words. And then I like had an Italian best friend, so that kind of helps catalyst stuff. But and then like a little bit of Amharic and Tigrinya, a bit more Amharic than Tigrinya. And but I want to be, I would love to be fluent in both of them.
That's probably my dream
more
too.
Yeah, it's I'm probably more likely to learn Amharic first because I just know a little bit more. But both, I would love to speak both of them. It's difficult. I mean, I can't lie. I feel like I'm probably not putting in as much effort as I could be. But it's like once you get to a certain age, it gets harder to learn a language. But not just because of the brain, but also like timing. There's so many other things to do. And it's like, I wish I had my like year five or 5 year old brain that could just absorb language like a sponge. It's so much easier.
I found a kind of wish list or to-do list from years ago, and it was like, get fluent in Tigrinya, Amharic, Arabic. Like, I had this whole list. I was like, wow, maybe I should break that down into kind of easier, more measurable goals.
Because,
yeah, especially Tigrinya is no joke.
I know.
It's tough. Living in Spain for 2 years, how did that influence your music?
It did a little bit because I always really liked flamenco. When I remember going to Malaga when I was like in year six, I think we were around 11 at the time. I was 11, my sister was 12. And we were staying in this hotel and there was this flamenco show. And like we bought some albums. I just remember always being like really drawn to flamenco, which has this like Arabic roots. And I watched a documentary the other day which was talking about how like the African slave trade in Spain may have also influenced flamenco.
Yeah,
like the like rhythm and like the percussive elements. Mm-hmm. even though they don't recognize it themselves, the Spaniards. you know how they are. But so I'd say like vocally, so like the language and like maybe some like vocal elements have definitely like influenced us. Rosalia became a big influence because she made flamenco like accessible to me because she sounded more like me than, because flamenco singers are very harsh, whereas Rosalia sings it in a very like soft tone. So I was like, oh wait a minute, I can hear myself in this. So it made it made flamenco like accessible, which was cool.
Yeah, I love her stuff. I used a couple of her songs for Spanish through music work as well. So you have a love for Spanish music. And yes, those influences. I remember being in Argentina and going and only learning in this museum there that tango had African roots as well. I was like, oh. Because I didn't see any black people in Argentina. And then I went to the museum and I remember like zooming in on this one painting. I was like, oh my God, there's some black people in this painting. Right, and I was like, oh, what happened? And then apparently like all the Africans were sent to the front line in their wars with Paraguay out of nowhere. But I was like, I see how you lot are rolling in Argentina. Take
everything from us and they just erase us out of history. It's so annoying.
It's a trend. It's an ongoing trend. It's been happening for a long, long time. So it's good to point out those roots and those connections of where music is coming from. So another musical tradition that's a big influence on you that also has African roots, of course, is música brasileira. So what were your? How did you discover Brazilian music?
I think it was my sister. She like Sophie's got a really eclectic taste. Like. Because like if it wasn't for her, I probably would have just grown up listening to just grime and like hip hop. But like she introduced me to like indie rock, so like The Strokes, like Warpaint, a couple like quite like Porter's Head, Massive Attack, like It's Tricky, like loads of different, do you know what I mean? Like loads of different genres, which I find can be a bit more musical than let's say maybe if I just listen to like grime and hip hop. And obviously R&B and stuff. But it was just nice to have access to like another like the more eclectic types of music that I wasn't necessarily being like surrounded by in terms of friends or environment. So it's always, because it connects you to different sounds in different parts of the world as well. So she showed me Charles Gibraltar like a couple years, like a good few years ago, maybe a decade or so ago. And I fell in love. from there.
Yeah.
It just suited. Yeah, it just worked. I was like, oh, this is a bit of me.
Yeah, it's lovable. I just love how the airport in Rio is named after a musician. I was just like, what?
This Which is one? Amazing. Which one? Which one?
It's named after Antonio Carlos Jobim.
Okay, I had a feeling, yeah.
Yeah, it's called... I think the initials for it are GIG for some reason, which is also gig in English. But I think it stands for something else. But yeah, the official name is Antonio Carlos Jobim. And I just thought that was beautiful that they would decide to name it after a musician. Because, you know, I don't guess airports are usually named after politicians and royalty and stuff. So I thought that was nice.
Yeah, because it shows how much music is important to them as well.
Absolutely.
National heroes.
And it is. And I find in Brazil, it's one of those places that really respect the lyrics as much as the music. Like, you know, people really, that matters to them. If you look up Brazilian lyrics, it's really like you have the lyrics, you have the singer. It's a big deal. You have translations sometimes too. I love that. How about in terms of Eritrean music? Was there anything that any singers that you like listening to or your fam would play hard? Like, what are the any Eritrean artists that you enjoy?
I couldn't say an Eritrean artist off the top of my head, but we grew up listening to like a lot of like Astera Waka and like Teddy Afro.
Astera Waka is amazing, and Teddy Afro, of course. Yeah, it's funny. I think so many of us have family in both countries, and then I know when I'm seeing my family in DC, it's Amharic and Tigrinya gets mixed so constantly. Sometimes I'm like, wait, is that an Amharic word?
There's some Amharic music now that sounds like they're using it more like Tigrayan like elements as well and stuff. So it's cool.
Yeah. What was your experience like learning languages at school? Did you ever have teachers using music to teach languages at school or at uni?
Not really, but there was one of my Spanish teacher asked us to like bring in like a Spanish song or look up a Spanish song. And I think I remember it was Tengo la camisa negra by Juanes. And I remember being like to her, Miss, what does that mean? Because I was like, doesn't that mean I have a black shirt? And she was like, oh, it's an expression. And I was like, oh, because I was like able to translate it. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's funny. Sometimes the song is such passion, and then you're like, what does the thing actually mean? I love all the kind of old Fania and Celia Cruz songs as well. Just gorgeous. I really feel that music makes it so much more fun than books for me, at least it did at school. What was your experience like when you got to Spain? Did you already speak some Spanish, or did you have to pick it up when you were there?
I did some in at GCSE, but then I had to pick up most of it when I was there.
Do you think being a musician makes it easier for you to learn languages?
That's an interesting point, because of like how I interact with sounds. Maybe. I think maybe just having been exposed to languages, different languages from childhood, has maybe made it a bit easier for me to learn some languages. Because I feel like with Latin languages, because like Amharic and Tigrinya are so like difficult, they're more character-based, completely different alphabet system. So when it comes to like learning Spanish, especially stepping down from French, like Spanish is just a lot easier.
Did you study French as well at school?
Yeah, studied French at school, Spanish, and French and Spanish. So I struggled a lot with French, but then it was so much easier to learn Spanish. But I don't think Spanish would have been easy if I hadn't learned the basics of like Latin grammar through French. So it catered us, and then like Italian and Spanish, I just found easier. Italian's tricky, to be honest, but yeah, they're both easier than French.
Do you plan on recording in other languages as well?
I've recorded a little bit in Spanish. I definitely need to like write an Amharic song.
That would be dope.
And I would love to do one in Tigrinya too, but let's tackle one of them at a time.
You could make a mashup, a Tigrinya and Arab and Amharic tune. Yeah. Are there any expressions that you heard a lot of growing up, like in Tigrinya, that stuck with you, or words that you kind of think of or use?
Well, whenever whenever I'm so I mainly speak Tigrinya with my grandma because my dad's Ethiopian. When we're at home, my mum and dad speak in Amharic, but it's only when my mum, auntie and grandma are together that you'll speak Tigrinya.
Okay.
So whenever I'm with my grandma, I'm always asking her, how do I say this? How do I say this in Amharic? How do I say this in Tigrinya? She'll tell me go. So whenever I'm like, whenever I say like, Yegin Yale, like whenever I say something cute in Tigrinya, she'll say, Zagwale, Zagwale.
Oh, yeah.
So that's like my favorite. It's my favorite word.
Yeah, Gwale is really one of the best words. I agree.
Instead of so much daughter. Love, you know?
Yeah, my daughter, Gwale. Yeah. Absolutely agree. And for me, probably the Amharic word that I always think of the most, even though it's not really a word, it's just nde. There's just so much significance.
Nde.
I love it. Yeah, if I could be fluent with you in Amharic and Tigrinya, that's also my dream.
One day.
For sure.
We'll get that. So we might just need to go and live there for a bit, to be honest.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. I'm down. I'm down. As soon as we can sort out our serious problems in the region.
I know. It's so annoying. Let's not even get into it.
No. Lord. So speaking of travel, you've been nonstop musicking, making lovely tunes throughout this whole lockdown stressful situation we've had this year. Are there places you would especially like to go and record or go and play when things get a little bit back to normal, which apparently they should this summer? A friend of mine says he's already booking tours and stuff, so
lucky for them. I'd love to. So obviously Madrid, because Madrid is like my second home. But places I really want to go and like make music is like Cuba, like Rio, not even just Rio, just Brazil in general. I love to go to New Orleans. I want to go and live in LA for a bit. I would like to like tour some of the main musical cities in the States. That would be really cool. South America would be cool to go to. Yeah, so I said like obviously Cuba and Brazil, but maybe a few of the other countries around there. Oh, Jamaica, of course, as well.
Yeah,
I need to go and make music there. And then what about on the other side of the world? Is there anywhere in Asia that would be cool? I feel like some of the places in the Far East, I can't take like names off the top of my head, but I would love to like explore the music scene in the region and like more like traditional Eastern like musical styles as well. Because all of them cross over, like they're really good with their melodies over there, like quite like harmonic melodies as well.
Yeah, and such an eclectic scene too. I used to live in the Philippines and it was a huge reggae scene. I was like, what?
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, reggae everywhere. Every Sunday, big reggae party. Like, yeah, I guess it's an island vibe. And this one band had the best name. It was my favorite name of a of a reggae band. They called themselves Tropical Depression.
Oh,
relating to, you know, the storms,
the weather,
and the moodiness of some of their tunes. And like, yeah, I just thought
that is a good name.
Clever. Awesome. So you had a song come out a couple weeks ago, right? And you had a gig at Hootenanny recently as well.
Yeah.
Hey, Hootenanny is such a legendary place.
I know. It's in the heart of South as well. So
yeah. What are your upcoming collabs and projects and releases that you could tell us about
coming out? So I've got a single coming out on my birthday, 18th of June.
Yay.
Which is today Friday? No, today's Thursday. Basically, it's in 3 weeks from tomorrow. So it's a single called Sugar Honey Kiss is going to come out, and then I've got an EP that's going to come out at the end of summer with two singles, lead singles with that.
Brilliant.
So there's a whole bunch to look forward to, and then after that there's probably going to be a lot more to look forward to as well.
Yeah, well, I hope I get to see you live very, very soon, because this lack of live music has been unreal. How was it playing a live gig after months of kind of no gigs?
It was incredible, to be honest.
People must have been like losing their minds. No,
it was quite formal. My friends were. They were being really loud. Most people were sat down, but like it was good crowd engagement. Like everyone was really like attentive. Everyone said to me afterwards that you had the crowd. I couldn't necessarily tell because everyone was sat down. It's not the same as normal vibes. So people
had
around.
To sit down for the gig. And
yeah, people had to sit down. Yeah.
Wow. So but, is I mean, there, like, do they, a friend of mine who was DJing in Lisbon recently, like she says that like they've taped off squares, like tapes on the ground and people have
no,
to.
No, they didn't do that, but they had space. Tables. So okay. They just had tables and everyone just had to stick on their table. But it was, even, you know, regardless of that, it was just beautiful to be back on stage and like everyone was receptive, which is the most important thing. So I was happy with it. Yeah.
And you performed with the DJ, right?
Yeah. Seiji. He's produced most of the songs. Like okay. He's the EP that's coming out is a collaboration project with him. So yeah, when he's there DJing, it's more like he's the guy that made the song.
Oh, dope. What is your favorite setup to play? Like, when do you, with the DJ or with the live band, solo?
You've done some great solo gigs. Yeah, solo's cool. Live band, I love live band. I just haven't done it much, but I would love to do more live stuff. I enjoy being with the DJ, but sometimes with PA. PA is fun, but band can be a bit more interesting, you know, because you can slow it down, speed it up, make it a bit more real,
yeah,
incorporate all the different elements. So in the future I'm definitely going to try and get more band work. Trying to just, every time I meet musicians I'm like, oh, you're a potential for my future band.
I'm gonna take your number.
Yeah.
Well, I hope all the gigs that you mentioned before we started recording get confirmed and that I get to see you live and in person.
Yeah, it'll happen. There's gonna be more.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Haftay, thank you so much. So glad I met you 7 years ago now. Oh my god.
Same. I know, time flies.
In Croatia. Who would have thunk? Three Abisha. Maybe there were more there, but our radars didn't go off.
Yeah, I don't think there were many.
No. But so great.
My cousin was there though. She's Habesha. Oh, yeah. Oh, no. So four Habeshas.
Four Habesha in the house. But can't wait to see you play live. So nice to talk to you today. And we'll be here listening to your tunes.
Yes, do it.
And we'll be language to musicing your Spanish tunes as well.
Yay. Translations. Bad Spanish. <but. laughs>
And your Amharic and Tigrinya tunes in the future.
Well. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and your
leg. Wale.
Have an amazing day. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you, my love. Speak see you soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Enjoy the sunshine if you have any.
For the 2 minutes.
Literally.
Languages to music.